out of the set, please. I'm talent.
Don't forget, I'm Julian.
Is JFK still dead? Oh, pardon me, we're shooting something. Hello, I'm Drew Lane talking into this fake mic to tell you how dangerous bullshit news is for your health. Listen to Charlie LaDuff, but no bullshit news out. Ow. Right, can we do that again? I'll beat it. That's why I'm taking my glasses off like crack guy. This just did breaking news. No more bullshit. No more bullshit.
No bullshit.
Na 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 na. No bullshit.
No bullshit.
Welcome to another broadcast of No Bullshit News Hour for October 20th, 2019.
Welcome, everyone.
Facebook Live brought to you by American Coney Island, the original Coney dog made in downtown Detroit, Lafayette, Michigan Avenues, for the red, white, and blue building. It's a landmark, nicely painted. Thank you.
And clean.
Coolers at a precise 40 degrees, brother. Cater your next event or send a Coney kit to a friend anywhere in the United States. Just go to AmericanConeyIsland.com. What the fuck is going on in here? The mannequin finally moves, and Bob's busting the joint up.
Tearing the place up.
Oh, look, we got
knocked over a camera.
A lot to get to today, as usual. I want to talk about use of force, the police, in the wake of Fort Worth, Texas, what's going on in Detroit. It's really interesting. I wrote a story about, you know, a guy getting shot 15 times by SWAT.
Wow.
We don't know anything about it. And the cop called me today. Very interesting. So, Joey, what the fuck are you doing? Oh, you're moving closer now. Oh no, Joey.
He's getting
now the mannequin.
The Facebook
camera. He's like Pinocchio. All of a sudden, he thinks he's a real boy. There you go. And I want to introduce Gary Christian Hughes. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's me.
How are you, brother?
Okay.
Get close to that mic, Gary. You're old.
Okay.
Oh, I can hear you. A little closer. Joey, can you push his wheelchair in a little closer?
I can put a chair.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead. Happy birthday to you, bro.
Happy birthday. Yeah,
thank you.
Happy, happy birthday. He turns 90 years old tomorrow on Monday.
Wow, you've seen a lot.
90 years old. How you feeling?
Still okay.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I want to just let everybody know, in the second half of the show, we want to talk about your life. And your wife, I did a story of you a year ago. You and your wife was dying, and she wanted to meet me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Your crazy daughter came to my house, and I thought she was going to shoot the place up. And I came over, and you're just beautiful. You're a neighbor. I love you, man.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
And I saw you the other day, and how's Joanna doing?
Well, she passed away, you know that.
Mm.
You don't know that?
You told me, yeah, but yeah. The listeners didn't know that. How are you?
It's tough, you know, being alone.
Yeah?
Wish you were love of your life. Hey, we were 69 years married.
Wow.
Yeah.
My man.
Yeah?
Yeah, great lady. You know, we were supposed to go on a date, because you won't go to the casino.
She, yeah. That's what she loved to do, too, you know, go to the casino.
The casino?
Yeah. She, so did my mom, man, you know.
Yeah, and you know, she always was doing pretty good there.
Yeah, everybody says they always do good there.
Yeah, I've seen that too, that he lost a lot.
That's right, bro. So, you know, I mean, Michigan is one of the fastest aging states in the country. The country, what is the statistic? Something like people over the age of 65.
It's increasing.
Have grown by a third in the last decade.
It's a lot.
Something like that. I know it's
no
bullshit.
I don't know if it was 20% or 30%, but it was significant.
Yeah, so we're all getting old. And
well, that's happening, you know. You can't stop it.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Right?
If you are lucky.
And we just want to talk to you about
that. You know, stay active, you know.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
That's what I've been doing. I my life was always doing something.
You must be doing something right. Can turn 90.
I, you know, when we moved in the house here, there was a little house, so I made it bigger. First, I put a garage behind there. Then I put a rec room in between it. You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all done by me. Then I got, you know, that was done. Then we went up north and I built a cottage there.
Wow. Where up north?
Rose City.
Oh, nice.
Where are you from? Where'd you come from?
Holland.
Holland. Yeah. Do me a favor, would you?
Yeah.
Can you say something like, I'll be back?
I'll be back.
No, do it better. I'll be back.
I'll be back.
Little Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that was good.
We need some drops. Do this one for me. My name is Old Man Gary, and I listen to No Bullshit News.
My name is... what?
Old Man Gary.
Oh, my name... Oh, yeah, okay. My name is Old Man Gary, and I don't listen to No Bullshit.
Good for you. Don't listen to any bullshit.
Listen, let's... So Gary is a Dutchman. Before we get into the news, I want to start with a rant. But before that, let's wish Gary a happy 90th birthday.
Happy birthday.
And let's play him a Dutch happy birthday song. Gary, if you know the words, if you still remember Dutch, please sing along.
Zal die leven lang, zal die leven in gloria, in gloria, in gloria.
Gloria.
In
gloria.
In gloria.
Di pipura.
It sounds like Pop Goes the Weasel.
Lang zal ze leven, lang zal ze leven.
Leven
in de gloria.
Gloria.
Ja.
In de gloria.
Oh, kill it.
Nice. Happy birthday, Gary.
You always said, heep, 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 hurrah.
Oh.
Heep, heep, hurrah.
Heep, heep, hurrah. We say hip, hip, hooray. But you know that. Okay, before we get going, we talked to Sergeant Flatfoot, another Detroit super cop who can't use his real name for fear of retribution. You know how it goes in this town. Before we get there, just a couple little things to set straight here. Oh, is that me? Oh, that was me.
That was you. That wasn't me.
That was my ass.
I got mine turned off.
The Lions and the Packers.
Oh, God.
Well, what'd you take?
Oh, we got robbed. I mean, we get robbed all the time, but it was so blatant. So blatant. The officiating is so bad. And I was reading an article, and I think they said that they have 15 penalties a game, and it's on pace to be some kind of NFL record.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's what's wrecking the sport.
Yeah.
It's like, you know,
scoring's down, penalties are up.
It's like lawyers. They should change the rules. If there's a penalty away from the play that doesn't affect the play and it's not egregious, don't call it.
It's not a play. Yeah, it's not a penalty.
But here's the thing. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you, Detroit.
You and everybody else.
No, I'm sick of you, Detroit. Wipe your freaking noses, right? Most of that game wasn't lost because of two phantom penalties.
No,
okay? Matt Stafford goes 8 for 9 and throws something like 100 yards in the first quarter. And the rest of the game, he goes like 10 for 23 and throws for 90 yards.
Right.
They kick 5 field goals. They don't score a touchdown, right? He doesn't throw for a touchdown.
Well, it's the same old Lions.
They had 50 yards rushing. Green Bay had 175 yards rushing.
Yeah.
Right? You lost. The main reason you lost, you can't put it in the end zone.
Well, yeah, they just don't execute. They don't.
So we didn't get robbed. Look, you look at it this way.
I mean, yeah, we got robbed because they were horrible calls, but they would have lost anyway.
No, they might have won.
Well,
right?
Maybe, but.
But they might have won all their games. Look, they could have beat the Chiefs, right? They lost on you know, the last possession of the game. They beat the Eagles.
Right.
They beat the Chargers, and they should have beat Arizona.
Right.
So they
came up with a tie.
They could beat 5-0. Right? But they didn't beat Arizona, and they could have lost to Arizona had the defender not dropped an interception and walked it in the end zone.
Right.
They should have lost to the Chargers, who had two touchdowns called back on the same drive for phantom penalties. Yeah. But nobody in Detroit's bitching about that.
Well, no, because we were on the winning side of that.
They got outgained and outplayed.
But I think the point is still there that the
Eagles should have beat them. Eagles beat them up all over the field, dropped eight passes. Yeah. They did lose to the Chiefs, and they did lose to the Packers, so they could be 0-5.
Yeah.
Right? Could. You average 5-0 and 0-5, and what do you get? 2-2-1.
Right, which is where they're at.
Which is where they're at. This is what you get, Detroit. Right?
Well, and this is what we get year after year after year after year.
You want to know what? Hey, Gary, you fled. Well, yeah, you did. You left Europe, right? It was war-torn. It was broke, right?
It was coming up again, you know, a little, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it was tough. When did you get on the boat? What year did you get on the boat?
Joanne's sister, she got here.
Mm-hmm.
And she told us how good it was here.
Yeah.
So we decided, you know, she made the family decide to come over here. So we were the second ones.
So and what year did you come?
57.
1957. 1957.
Yeah.
What
arguably
month? What month?
January.
January. So you actually saw the Detroit Lions win a championship.
Yeah, but I don't remember that.
Right.
Because, you know.
Nobody does.
I was not in football, so, you know, in Holland is all soccer, you know.
Right.
You know, and that was the sport there.
So Gary's 90 years old
mm-hmm.
and never seen the Lions win a championship.
Yeah, I did. I think I did once.
No. 57, wasn't it?
57 was
it. Wasn't 58, it was 57,
one?
Right?
I believe so, yeah.
It was the last one.
Joey, what year was that? I'm going to get that correct. I don't know. Oh, he's holding Facebook.
That's a long time ago.
He's all animated. Long time. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Lions fan, here's the last thing about this. You know, if we can just win a home playoff game, that's what the Lions fans say,
mm-hmm.
right? Home playoff game, Bob.
That would be nice. We've only won one
We've
only won one in my lifetime.
One playoff game.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, the goal is to win another one, right?
I would think.
You know how stupid that is? You know what that is? What are you doing?
I'm looking to see what year.
Oh, you're looking it up.
1957.
So we're good. So Gary did live through a Lions championship. Now the goal is to win a home playoff game. You know what that's like? You know what that's like to me? That's like an astronaut saying, if I could only get to Gary, Indiana.
Right.
Right? It's Super Bowl, man.
It's lowering the bar so low.
Stop thinking like losers around here. I'm mad at the Lions. I'm 53, Gary.
Oh, my, you silly young guy.
They've wrecked my whole winter for a half a century.
Your whole life.
Nothing. You know what it is? It's cold. It's January. I get up. I watch the Lions lose. 60 Minutes comes on. It's dark. It's over. It's Monday.
Right.
For 50 years.
And you might have to go out and shovel some snow.
No, this brings me to Michigan State football. Everybody's bitching, right? Mark D'Antonio.
Well, they say he's going to be out, right?
They say he's going to be out.
Yeah.
Why should he be out?
I don't know.
Because he's not winning? He delivered some wins.
He did.
Big Ten titles, college playoffs, right? Bowl wins, real nice.
Yeah.
Great Rose Bowl with Stanford.
He's not Jim Harbaugh, though.
Well, they're bitching for him to leave, too. I'm like this. Look, it's Michigan, man. It's you know, it's the 10th largest state now. People moved away. What do you think you're getting here?
Well, they're not getting the talent level that they used to get.
So everybody's like, we all want to be like Clemson. I want to be like Alabama. I said, well, we're Michigan. It's what it is. We're regional. We're up in the north. It's cold.
Right.
I mean, take some wins the years you can get them. Be entertained the rest of the time. You know why? Otherwise, you turn the campus over to the athletic department. And if any... Well, right?
And which they shouldn't do.
Well, anybody should know that. It's people that went to Michigan State.
Right.
Every preseason, like there's a press conference on, like, my guy didn't rape somebody. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like Larry Nassar.
Larry Nassar.
This is what happens.
That's what I was going to
say. This is what happens when the university
is beholden to the sports program.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, Michigan's back to when I was growing up. Pretty good, mediocre, 8-4, 9-3.
Yeah.
You know, you compete every decade or so for something big.
They've had a pretty good season this year. I mean,
no, they're kind of soft.
Well,
we're going to see. They're playing Penn State.
Right. We will see.
Penn State's ranked very high, number six.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Now, look at Penn State. Okay, Penn State's ranked sixth. Michigan's 16th. Penn State's favored. Right? It's Penn State. Hello, Jerry Sandusky.
Right.
Hey, at least I could be proud to go University of Michigan.
Right.
Right? There's no raping the boys in the shower.
Right. They went through a whole big scandal.
Right. There are no guns
and
in the dorm room.
And their program's still good.
Who?
Penn State.
It was bad for a while, and they're bringing it back. But I call it State Penn. That's not. I don't want that for my university.
Well, no.
I want to be a university
and proud of it.
Yeah, and football's a distraction, and it's fun, and something to rally around. But it's meaningless.
Yeah.
So all you dudes in sports radio, you know, puff up your living on it, and all the people living vicariously, relax.
Yeah.
Right.
Settle.
That's not what a university's for. That's what I say. What do you say, Gary? Well said.
No, I'm not in that sports.
He's a soccer fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I've watched it, you know, off and on, you know, trying to watch it, but to me, there's too much time going on there. There's nothing going on there.
Right.
And you just sit there and wait.
That's a good point.
And soccer is active all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't do any scoring.
Well, that's the thing, you know.
Kicking a ball around.
Yeah, keep the ball out the goal. Yeah.
Oh, is that the point? No, I actually like football, mm-hmm. European football. I watch it. I watch the Premier League. You think Liverpool's going to win the title this year?
I don't know.
Man, they're good. Mm-hmm. The Dutch, the European qualifiers are going on. Yeah, the Dutch are powerhouses.
Yeah, they one time they lost it on feet.
On kicks, yeah.
Yeah, free kicks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They missed them all.
Sorry, Gary.
I couldn't believe that.
That's a hard way to go.
Yeah.
Let's get to one more rant here before we, you know, we get into the heavy stuff. Did you see that shit with ABC World News tonight?
I did.
When they're using video from a. What other way to say it? It's a nice redneck convention of heavy armaments in Kentucky, Knob Creek, where they light off 50 cals and bazookas and blow the shit up. Remember, Bob, we were gonna go there for the Americans when we were working at Fox.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let us there.
No, they would not.
Because they hated the media and they were gonna gum it all up and twist it and fake news and you're not invited and we're telling them, you know, we like guns and and they wouldn't invite us.
And you're not invited.
Well. So, this is ABC News World News Tonight. What was it? When was this? Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was
Saturday. A week ago.
4 days ago. 5 days ago.
Do you have the video? Can we put the video on Facebook Live? Or you want to play it for the people watching and
people? The video or the?
Yeah, the video. Did you lose it again?
Hold on.
It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't make sense unless you did lose it.
Well, there's that. I did lose it.
Did you hear about that, Gary? Okay, go ahead and sing Happy Birthday again, Gary, while Bob finds us.
It was on Twitter. Well, I've got the audio ready to go.
Just play the audio. God damn it.
This video right here appearing to show Turkey's military bombing Kurd civilians in a Syrian border town. The Kurds who fought alongside the U.S. against ISIS. Now, horrific reports of atrocities committed by Turkish-backed fighters on those very allies.
You're not still looking for it, are you?
No.
Yeah. So, what they were showing is purported to be northern Syria and the Turks being annihilated.
And you were seeing some explosions.
Right. It was from Knob Creek, except they edited out all the people in the front with their cell phones and stuff.
In Kentucky.
That, look, We work in TV.
Monumental fuck up.
It's not a fuck up. And it's not fake. It's a fuck up. Sorry. I mean, they knew.
Well, they had to have known.
Explain to the listener why you would have to know. Like, how? Like they didn't accidentally put that up. Explain why.
Well, I mean, because where it came from as a source would not have been a Syrian source. It would have been an American news organization or...
And you as an engineer and an editor, right?
Right.
Where does that video pop up? Where do they get it?
Well, I mean, we have different services that we subscribe to.
It's in the computer.
It's in the computer.
Before the show goes.
Sure.
Right? And it's labeled.
Sure.
Right? And you pull it up. You put in search. You say Syria, Kurds.
Well, right? and even if they put it in and even if the source mislabeled it as Syria, they edited out the crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Which would tell you that it's not war footage if people are sitting there watching with their cell phones up. I mean, come on. So they would have had to have known that that was bullshit. And yeah. Then aired it anyway.
Right. So it wasn't an accident.
No.
And here's what I read in the Washington.
And why they did that, I have no idea, because there's plenty of footage coming out of Syria.
Yeah, where's theirs?
Well, right.
Right, because you know what? What the Washington Examiner found was President Erdogan of Turkey... One of his cabinet members posted that video of Knob Creek and said, you know, the genocide will be over. Seems to me it's very possible.
They just grabbed it.
The huge news organizations are just going to Twitter and grabbing shit, right? Throwing it up there.
Without checking.
And not vetting it. And you're the big news organizations who are supposed to be over there collecting independent and verifiable news. So is it fake news? Fake news means you made it up. I say it's fake news.
Well, sure, in this case,
superficial, vacuous, lazy makeup, star power, pissed with it.
Well, I think the biggest thing you just said there is lazy.
Oh, my God.
It's so lazy.
Right? So,
you know, and like I said, they had to edit out the crowd. I mean, we didn't, you didn't see the video. But the video was explosions going off, and it looked like there was tracers going in, and, you know, war zone, you know, under fire. They edited out crowds who were watching with cell phone video.
And drinking beers.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, because you would have never thought, well, that was Syria. Yeah, with all those people with cell phone videos. No.
Unless you got it from a source on Twitter that also cropped it out.
Well, and right? That's what they did.
Possibly. This is a hypothesis of mine. The fact is, there's no excuse for it.
No.
And if you need someone to do the work, I'm known to go into riots.
I'll go.
I've been to war zones.
I've been pepper sprayed.
You know what I mean? You need somebody willing to do the work, find them.
Sure. And there are people willing to do the work.
Because we're tuning out.
Yeah.
It's tuning out. Telling you.
They hurt the mainstream media's cause of being relevant.
Yeah,
you know,
since you are the mainstream media.
Right. You can't, you know, call bullshit on Trump for calling us fake news when you're fake. I mean...
Yeah, and again, I mean, there is...
And there is video coming out of Syria.
And there's a war going on there. People are getting slaughtered and, like, you're fake. Like, you're playing fake reporter.
Right.
Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
ADR. Experienced overseeing more than $250 million in private and public construction projects since the turn of the century. Competent. Can help reduce your costs, increase your bottom line. ADR has saved construction clients. They have saved law enforcement agencies, municipalities, millions, right, in dollars. Experts in procurement and government compliance. ADR, honest, ethical, smart. Call Barry Ellentuck at 248-318-9424 for a consultation. ADR Consultants providing construction management. I know a lot of you out there.
You need that.
Everybody's reconfiguring in this soft economy. And IT consulting services for your company. Get the job done right on time, on budget. ADR Consultants, 248-318-9424.
Call Barry.
Economy's getting soft, but overreaction is not a strategy for the long-term investor. Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748 for rational financial advice. Look at the markets again. Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Listen to the TV pundits. The doom, the gloom is here. We're up. You get in. Buy high, sell low, buy high. What do you do? After wild weeks, the market is exactly where it was weeks ago.
Yeah.
Will the gains hold? Who knows?
Luke knows.
You shouldn't do it alone. Luke does not know.
Well, he doesn't know where the market's going, Luke but knew. he knows how to manage it. He knows how to protect your money.
Luke has an outlook. Luke is educated. Luke is a professional. Luke has the long-term view. Call him at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748. Plot your course. Tell him what you're about. Are you high risk? Are you low risk?
Where you want to go?
How do you look at life? Work with Luke. Don't go it alone. Position you and your investments, retirement, and college savings plan for the long term. 248-663-4748. Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates.
What was that number again?
Hear that, Luke? 248-663-4748.
4748.
Yep. All right. He's my guy. We got Sergeant Flatfoot on the line. We do. That's you there? Hey, so-and-so. Hey, Sergeant Flatfoot. That's what I'm calling you. You there?
Sergeant Flatfoot is here.
Right on, man.
Reporting for duty.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much for coming on.
Yes, sir.
Can you listen? It's no bullshit news. Can you quickly explain why we're not using your name or the real tone of your voice?
Because of the possibility of repercussions.
We'll leave it at that. That's the way this town goes, is it not, Sarge?
Without a doubt.
Oh, and by the way, he's not a sergeant. He was or is a high, high-ranking Detroit police official. I'm don't even answer it. Decades on the job, a couple decades. The guy, I know him, worked with him. He's a top cop. He knows what he's talking about. So, Sarge,
yes, sir.
Fort Worth, Texas. What happened a week ago was this: a young cop, less than 2 years on the force, is dispatched to a welfare check for a house where the doors are open. He scopes the property. Looks in the window, sees movement, possibly someone inside with a gun, freaks out, puts a bullet through, right?
Yes.
That's not how policing is done, is it?
No. In fact, it's the way that you don't do policing.
What did he do, like, just quickly, what did he do wrong in a nutshell?
You know, I don't know enough about that case. All I know is what I read in the media and... You know, with the way that policing is going nowadays, for the life of me, I don't know why he made that decision. As far, you know, I don't know enough to even really comment on that, Charlie. So,
see, I told you this guy was good. You see that? He's like, I don't have this specificity, but here's a guy.
Did you see the body cam?
Yeah.
Footage?
Yeah. Here's the thing. The guy's got 2 years. Less than 2 years on the job.
On the force, yeah.
And he's running point, right?
Yeah.
And he fucks up royally.
Minimum. Huge.
Charged with murder. Fuck up. Here's the thing. Within hours, the Fort Worth police officials put out that body cam footage.
They did.
Right? So what I wrote about this week was 13 months ago, the Detroit police were looking for the killer of a five-year-old, right? And she took a bullet, and her mother in bed took 16 and lived. So the police are looking for people involved. What they do, in the middle of the night, working on a tip, that knowing that it's not the trigger person, but perhaps
somebody can...
a woman that let the trigger person in, they get a warrant. And they take a flashbang grenade, throw it, it blows up, disorients those people inside. They peel the door open, SWAT goes in, and the lead officer fires 15 times. The other officers don't fire at all. We have questions of whether the guy, you know, had a gun and leveled it at the police. Did he not? The chief of police in Detroit says there's footage, but it's not clear. And then he comes out a week later and goes, I saw new footage. It is clear.
I was going to say he changed his story a couple times.
Yeah. In the meantime, the man who's dead was sleeping on the couch before, you know, the police entered. We're all a quote-unquote innocent guy. He's not a suspect at all. Is dead. We're left with the conflicting accounts. And to this day, nobody's been charged with the murder of that baby. So, Sergeant Flatfoot, number one, why isn't the public entitled to see that footage?
Well, I think it's important that, you know, police departments in the community bridge the gap. And there's, you know, obviously there's somebody was killed. He's the wrong person. And, you know, getting that information out to the public's important. I mean, the police over, you know, since their existence has had, you know, issues with the gap between the community and the police department. And it's just important that we build that and, you know, not being transparent in today's time is not a good idea, in my opinion.
I got to agree. Let me level with you here. I wrote that story, and this morning, guess who I got a call from? The point man that fired 15 times. Cop called me. You know what I mean? Because let me be absolutely clear here. I do not hunt cops, right? I am pro-police. I know it's an exceedingly hard job in this day and age particularly. I'm not saying that that's not what happened. Put the video out.
Yeah.
So we're not doing this. But my question, and so anyway, we went back and forth. And when he is cleared, and he's quite confident that he will be, we will do a story on what it's like for him in this city, the most dangerous in America, to be a point guy. You've been in these situations, have you not, Sergeant Flatfoot?
Yes, I have. You know, I know this officer. He is a well-experienced officer. You know, obviously I'm pro-cop. But my issue with this whole circumstance is I really feel for him because I think we have more of a leadership issue in the city of Detroit than anything right now.
Do tell. I mean, what do you mean? I mean, because I'm looking at it like this. In this day and age, when, you know, police departments are looking not to be abrasive, you know, with the community, without they don't want contact like this. Why are we throwing grenades and prying doors open in the middle of the night? I mean, why send SWAT and not? Why not wait till the woman? They're looking for a woman. Why not wait for her to go to the corner store to get some milk?
You know, I think that we have a lot of tools in law enforcement where we can track people. There are things in our tool belt that are very beneficial to us. And that is a great question. Why aren't we taking advantage of some of these tools? Is it because people want to get their face on the news? You know, to me, I was always trained, and one of the best things that I used was time. We use time anytime there's a barricaded gunman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless he's firing shots out his window and, you know, somebody's in danger, that's the only way really you're going to make a quick entry into that location. Otherwise, time is your best friend. You're going to wait. You're going to try to communicate with that person and wait them out. Time's your best friend. So why these tools or why time wasn't used in this instance is beyond me, especially if the guy wasn't in there. Where are you gathering your intel? Where are your sources? What type of technologies are you using in order to track these people? You know? So if there is no immediate danger, Why can't you wait till the morning? I mean, this is a broken WAC record. This isn't the first time this has happened in the city of Detroit.
Yeah, this was like with Diana Stanley Jones, the 7-year-old girl back in, what, 2011, right?
Correct.
Flashbang grenade. They pried the door open. Cop shoots a 7-year-old. The difference between this and that is you have an angelic 7-year-old, right? No record. In the case that we're talking about
seven.
Now, right? We got a 46-year-old black man in the ghetto of Detroit. See the difference? Number two, in the case of Diana Stanley Jones, the murder suspect was found in the house, the trigger man. In the case of Dietrich Driver, the guy that was killed here, the trigger man wasn't found in the house, and nobody's been charged. So we got a dead guy, and we got a cop, right, that you sent out there with not good intel, who's got to live with this shit now. And he's telling me, the cop today, his wife's flipping out.
I bet.
She's afraid, right? He's doing his job. Who sent him out there?
Well, Officer Flatfoot, I really was intrigued by what you said about time and giving them time. Because obviously, when cops get called out to these situations and these calls, they're amped up. And does time kind of also help police to sort of calm down and think about this and, you know, take it in a little more deliberate steps rather than, you know, just throwing the flashbang and rushing in? I mean, time seems like it's important for everyone.
Without a doubt, time is your best friend. You know, it allows you to get into a scene, fill the scene out, gather the intel that is out there, look for additional intel, calm down, like you said. So, you know, time is your best friend in these types of, in this circumstance, obviously. Yeah. And my heart goes out to this officer.
Sure.
You know, he's a good cop. And some leader threw him into this spot. And now this guy has to go through this. His family has to go through this. And, my heart goes out to him and his family.
And you know what, man? Look, let me just tell you something. I'm just going to tell everybody. Bob, I'm going to tell you. Look at me. You know, I called my mother to talk about doing this story. I talked to my mother.
To get her take on it.
Yeah, you know, like, again, it's very, I live a real life. It's just heavy.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, because we are pro-police. Well, I want to have good police, you know, but I don't want to get shot in my house.
Well, I don't make excuses for them. But,
no.
You know, and my mom says, you got to do it because I'm pro-human being, too. I'm pro that guy on the couch. No matter what his record was. Right, there's no record of violence. The guy's got, you know, a record for carrying a concealed weapon, fraud. He was actually a number of years ago. Remember when the FBI was working that sting with the stolen property in the warehouse, and there was a shootout with the imam, and then the dog.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he was in there.
Oh, he was.
The imam was firing. The FBI said
that wasn't him.
It wasn't him. But here's the deal: the imam. His corpse was handcuffed while they took the police dog and medevaced him on a helicopter to the vet. So he was involved in that. He was convicted of fraud, dealing in stolen shit. But he never, you know, there's no record of him.
Not violent.
Armed robbery or anything like that. Just like with the cop earlier in his career, like 7 years ago, he shot somebody on the job. These are separate incidents. But having said that, here's what I do know. Detroit, just 3 years ago, came out of a federal oversight for 13 years, right? For excessive use of force and inhumane lockup. Isn't that right, Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, and he's not a sergeant, just behind everybody. Do you blame me? Isn't it my job? Like the culture... If it has changed, that's great, but somebody's got to make sure that it stays on point. I'm asking, do you blame the press? Do you blame me for putting this story out there?
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame the press.
Blame's the wrong word. You know what I mean? Are you angry with me?
No.
Do you find it necessary?
Yes. Well, I think it's important, you know, with what's going on in the world today. We got to start building trust between the communities and the police department.
Period. Straight up. Point blank.
And that's it. I mean, we have to put out real, accurate information. We have to keep everybody's well-being in mind. This cop's well-being. This individual who was killed. I feel for him and his family also. I mean, you know, we have to do a better job with leadership. You know, I was part of this leadership team, and I will tell you, they need some work.
Tell us, let me characterize you. You're not disgruntled. You didn't walk away in a tizzy. I'm just going to leave it at that. You're honest. I've always known you to be honest. What are the issues? And this isn't tagging this department as bad, full of bad cops. But what are the issues? For instance, since 2014, the bankruptcy, what's the turnover rate? How many cops have left or retired?
They've lost, from my understanding, over 1,000 police officers have left.
Wow.
Whether, you know, whatever the rank since 2014 and replaced.
That's about 50% of the force.
It's been a huge turnover.
Whoa.
And so now you got a bunch of young guys who are just learning the job.
You got a bunch of young guys who have just been thrown into the lion's den.
Wow.
You got a bunch of young kids who, you know, this is, Detroit is the most violent city in the country. And I feel for them because it's a very difficult, difficult job.
What's the solution? Because, look, I mean, if you put it that way, that's exactly the profile of the officer in, former officer in Fort Worth. You know what I mean?
The solution is retention. The solution is, keeping experienced cops on the job to train, you know, the newer cops. You know, I was trained by some very knowledgeable police officers that I thank because I'm probably still alive because of them. Just the littlest things that they taught me kept me alive.
Like what?
Going up in an elevator. Going up in an elevator, you never get off on the floor that the run is to. You know what I mean? If you respond to a high rise on the 11th floor, you don't get off on the 11th floor. You get off on the 10th. I mean, you're in a position to get killed if you get off on that floor because you're a sitting duck when those doors open.
Point. Don't sit in your car, right? You sit in the car, it's a coffin.
Correct.
Announce yourself when you're creeping around somebody's house.
Well, not in every instance, Charlie.
Well, that's true. When you're doing a welfare check, right?
A welfare check, yes.
Huh. Well, let's see. We got, I don't know, man. Let me ask you this. I might as well. What about the round carousel of command staff? Right? For instance, do you remember when the undercover crews in the 11th and 12th mistook each other, when the guys from the 12th thought the guys from the 11th were like just guys from the neighborhood dealing drugs, and they jumped out of the car and put guns to their heads, and then it ended up as a big...
They pulled guns, too.
No, they didn't pull guns, too.
They didn't?
No. But there ended up being a big fist fight on a porch of the house they were raiding. Right. Do you remember that, Sergeant Flatfoot?
Unfortunately, yes, I do.
Okay, so the command staff had no idea they were even out there. So at that time, that was 2 years ago, I counted the turnover, the commanders of those two precincts, there had been 11 in 5 years.
Well, nobody's going to stay with this chief. Not anybody with any real, uh, not not anybody that really cares about fighting crime.
What do you mean? That you just interjected a whole new thing there. What do you mean nobody's going to stay with this chief? What's happening?
Well, if you're a crime fighter, the way that you deal with crime is different than what this chief has in mind.
What's he got in mind?
What's he doing? Come on, break it down.
Yeah.
Just be real.
There is no real crime fighting crew in the city of Detroit. At this point, they're more of a reactive department than a proactive department.
That's not good.
You know, that's pretty much it. I mean, the crime, you know, I worked for many, many chiefs, and I'll tell you, there were times where you had to get crime under control. Now, I'm not saying go into situations and violate people's rights. Believe me, I'm not saying that. But sometimes you have to get into the high crime areas and be proactive. You have to look for guns. You have to look for drugs. You have to put a stop to it.
Yeah.
And it's not there anymore. And in fact, the leadership team, most of them, don't have any crime fighting experience.
What do you mean? They're like desk guys, bureaucrats kind of thing?
They're all somebody's friend. They're all somebody's ex-clerk or ex-girlfriend. That's what you see going on now. I mean, I see some of these individuals worked for me at one point, and they didn't impress me then, and they definitely don't impress me now.
Holy shit. Yeah, look, you know, I've seen a round robin. I've seen a carousel. I've been out on the streets a lot with you guys. I can see who came and who went. I don't want to, you know, put anybody down that is in a secondary position, can I say? You know, the chief is always welcome. It's open. We've had his assistant chief of police. We've had people around him. We've had guys like you. You're always welcome, sir, to come and answer that. Because crime hasn't fallen. We're still the most dangerous city. Dietrich Driver's still dead. The narcotics guys stole the dope a couple times under your nose. And Sergeant Flatfoot's calling you out. I don't know what we're supposed to report on this show that's going to make a difference. All I can do is do what I think is the real work. I want an answer to why this man is dead. You know, I don't know why you're using SWAT to bust in there, and now we've got a baby killer walking around. You know what I mean? You exercised a raid of a home thinking your info was so great, and then it turns out you actually detained two suspects who you thought did it, and you don't got enough, and we got a dead guy? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how many times to say it. Last words for you, Sergeant Flatfoot. Go ahead. Anything?
Just keep doing what you're doing, and, you know, Detroit Police is one of the most underpaid police departments in the country. You know, at one point, I remember I had guys working with me that had two kids and qualified for a bridge card.
Wow.
Holy fuck.
It's a tough situation for these men and women out there. This city's got to do better. They got to treat these officers better. They got to pay them better. At that point, maybe you retain more of them. So that's really what I want to, you know, I'm not out here to bash any cops. I'm pro cop, I'm pro community, and I'm more importantly pro the truth. So, you know, anything that we can do to bridge the community with the police department, and because we can't do it alone. You need them. If nobody's picking up the phone and going, yeah, it was so-and-so who shot so-and-so, it only makes our job more difficult. So we have to do a better job. And you know, another thing, we have to protect witnesses much better than what we do. It's another reason why nobody ever wants to talk to us. We don't protect them.
What do you mean? That's what?
How do you protect them? We don't have the manpower.
Well, you keep their identity hidden, I would think, right?
They got no. Well, they got to testify in court.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they got to go home every night in the same neighborhood where they, you know, where they
whatever they did. Yeah.
Correct. Why would I?
Wow.
You know, I don't. Hey, Sarge, I don't know if it's going on anymore, but when you know, bankruptcy was in upon us, they were giving witnesses who testified in court. They were giving them bus fare back home. Do you remember that?
I remember it. It's an embarrassment.
And somebody got wiped out going home on the bus?
We have to do a better job.
We do. And, you know, it starts with that, and I appreciate it, man. And I'll give you a holler this weekend, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
Sergeant Flatfoot, thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Have a great day, guys.
I almost regret calling him Sergeant Flatfoot now because it's kind of funny, but that shit's it's real.
It is real.
It's real.
And he's absolutely right. I mean, you know, wow.
How many times we got to say it?
Yeah.
Like, you know what? I worked hard all week. That's a freedom of information request. That's talking to a bunch of people involved. That's dealing, and I hope the officer, you know what I mean, who was involved in that shooting is listening. Because I'm not, you know how Facebook goes. I'm not calling the guy a murderer.
Right.
I don't know if 15 is excessive. I'm going to believe until otherwise, you know, seen.
That he did the right thing.
The officer said, yeah, he wasn't sleeping when I got in there. He was sleeping before we got in there. And he said, he was pointing that fucking thing right at us. I can't believe he didn't fire. And I want to.
Well, and that's the question you got to ask. I mean, the guy was pointing the gun at you. Why didn't he fire, but you fired 15 times?
That's a good question.
I mean, it's a good, I don't know.
Well, it's called neutralizing the threat.
Well, sure. You know, and I think the police, their most important job is to go home every night. You know, I don't want any of these guys hurt. You know?
Yeah, but that,
I'm police.
No. You're going to a home.
But you can't.
A guy didn't do anything.
Right.
He's entitled to be able to leave home in the morning.
Well, and like you said, I mean, so.
It's a difficult job.
Okay, you know, I'm living in a bad part of Detroit. Maybe I fell asleep on the couch. I got my gun close. And boom, all of a sudden I hear commotion everywhere. Of course you're going to grab your gun.
Yes.
You're going to protect yourself and your family and your house and everything else, you know. And
Remember Super Cop? We had him on?
Yeah.
High-ranking guy. And he says, I'm not stopping for an accident I'm involved in.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Everybody listening can Google it. There are crews who break into homes dressed as police.
Yeah.
Knocking as police. Right? Put it this way. I hear a bang. Police! I don't live in the rugged part of Detroit. I'm grabbing my piece.
Sure.
I don't know. Mannequin. You don't. You drink distilled water. You grabbing your piece, Bob?
Oh, it's locked up, but I mean.
You going to grab the piece?
But yeah. I mean.
Gary, you have firearms, Gary?
Yeah.
If there was an explosion and your door got knocked open and you heard police, would you grab your gun?
If you hear police, I don't know.
You don't know? Maybe.
Maybe.
That's the thing. Maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Well, and I think part of that depends on where you live. What's your zip code? You know, here in Ferndale or out in White Lake where I live, I hear police. Hey, I'm not grabbing, my piece or whatever. But if I'm in Detroit and you got, you know, dumbasses dressed up like police trying to break in,
yeah,
maybe I am.
I'm thinking this. I don't know. I'm not a fugitive, Gary. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not dealing in narcotics, Gary. You know, I know there's no reason
for anybody to come in your house.
Knocking into my house. Oh, maybe my kid did something, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, I would expect the authorities to give me some notice.
Yeah.
Right. And certainly announce themselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, that's all so fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all so fast.
Well, it is so fast. I mean, and if you see that video from the body camera, that officer in Fort Worth, you know, and it was, you know, put your hands up, bang.
Right.
There was no time in between. Well, I'm putting my hands up, don't shoot.
Right.
You know, kind of thing. But
right.
I
just thought it was a lesson on, as Sergeant Flatfoot was saying, communicating
right
with the citizens. Because right. we all have
Which
to
is
do
huge.
This together.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. We're all in this together.
You know what I mean?
And I feel horrible for the family of the officer, horrible for the family of the victim. I mean, it's a no-win situation all the way around.
Yep.
I mean, everybody loses.
Let's leave it at that, take care of this business, and talk to Gary here, birthday boy, Gary Christian Hughes. But first, Hall Financial has received nearly 800 five-star reviews from their happy clients, and they're on a mission to hit 1,000. This team of mortgage professionals provides every client with VIP service, ensuring they feel like a name, not a number. How close are you, Bob?
My loan was just approved.
Boom!
Yep.
That
we
was.
We haven't closed yet, but
right, it was approved.
But it was approved. The appraisal came through, and it's been nothing but a seamless, smooth process.
How long did it take?
God, I don't even think it's been a week. I mean,
the minute did you know you called up and
from
they,
the minute
you
I called
call
up,
back.
Yeah, I it was maybe a week.
Really?
It was maybe a week. Yeah,
maybe two.
And now we're close. No, it wasn't even two. Maybe 10 days. Okay.
Okay.
And then we're closing in, I think, 18 days, 15 days.
Wow.
But, yeah, it's been so smooth, and couldn't be happier. Hall Financial. Give them a call.
And that number is 248-308-5000. Wow. Okay.
And I was telling my buddy, you know him, Mike Moore at Fox 2.
Mm-hmm.
He went with him, too, and he's getting a mortgage refinance through them.
Okay, what do you think? Is he happy with the...
He's been super thrilled with it.
That's sweet. All right. Hall Financial. Knows how to deliver five-star service, obviously, to a one-star guy.
Well, you know.
but
it's more the wife.
But your chick is an ace. No, she's aces, man.
She's tops.
She's like five aces. That means your schedule availability at night and on weekends, they're going to work for you, and you won't be charged hidden or extra fees. No bullshit. You know what you're getting when you work with Hall Financial. Call them, 248-308-5000 for purchase or refi. Or chat with them online at davidhallmortgage.com. Give Hall Financial a chance today. The official mortgage lender of the No BS News Hour. Equal Housing Lender, NMLS, number 1467435. Glad to hear that, Bob.
Yeah, everything's going well. And the guy, I'll just give him a personal shout-out, Chris Pizzulli. He's been fine. He is from with Hall Financial, and he's kind of been the point man. He's been fantastic.
Chris Pizzulli.
Chris Pizzulli, yeah. Give those guys a call. They will take care of you for sure.
How much you want to bet the Lions get fucked again by the refs?
Oh, I guarantee it.
No?
Guarantee it.
But you can bet. Just go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win.
Right.
Right? Like, remember, you know, like in the like the Super Bowl, who scores first, if there's a safety, right? You know,
you can bet on anything.
You can bet on anything.
Coin toss, the
right.
First penalty, the everything. Yeah.
My bookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. Don't forget, who you're betting with is just as important as who you're betting on. And mybookie.ag is the best in the business. If you're the kind of person who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. NFL season's the best time of year. You join now and mybookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code NOBS to activate the offer. That's promo code NOBS. Visit mybookie.ag today. I wonder, Karen's out of town this week, so I wonder how that went. Karen's the one going to lay down some loot.
Let's see. I'm sure she did well.
All right, I want to get to this. Hey, Gary, you don't drink, do you?
No.
Here, we'll talk into the microphone. Talk right in like this. Put your lips right there.
No, I don't drink.
You don't drink?
No. Nope.
You're from Europe.
Yeah. you want to hear the story?
I want to hear the story.
You know, my hometown, if it's an old town, real old town,
mm-hmm.
Very important town in the early days.
Mm.
Had a wall around it, a moat around it, and stuff like that. Anyway, in the early days, I did drink. You know, when I was 6, you know, over there you could drink 16 years old. You could go into the bar and get whatever you wanted.
Okay.
me and my friend, we walked home that night. We had been to the bar, had a few drinks, you know, not being drunk or anything, and found his dad in the gutter, stone drunk. And we dragged him home, and he threw up all over me. And I never drank again.
Really? Oh, that's a great story.
That stopped me right there.
Didn't okay. end up like that guy.
Yeah.
Let me do this. Let me remind
you. He was an alcoholic. That guy was an alcoholic, you know.
It just sounds like a bad night, man. You'd be so judgmental. Mm-hmm. But what an angry old man.
Still is a booze town, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me do this, Gary, how I came to know you. Your daughter is a stranger to me. She knocked on my door. She was crying and said that your wife wanted to meet me before she died. And I came over and I did a little story. I don't know if you heard it, but a lot of listeners haven't. And the first time we played it, Judge Vonda Evans was on, and she was acting like such a nut job. I'm not sure anybody did hear it. So let's replay it, and then talk to my neighbor Gary afterwards.
It's locked. Hi, how are you?
Hi, thank you so much for coming.
Of course.
Johnny, come on, let me give you a hug.
Oh, come on now.
Nice meeting you.
My pleasure.
Uh-huh.
My pleasure. Joanna?
Yeah.
Pleasure.
I met you in church probably 2 years ago, and I asked you to sign the book, and you said bring it the next time.
But you were sick.
I got in church, but you weren't there.
Oh, you found out I didn't That's not okay. been going to church.
Because I don't like to get up. It's Sunday.
How are you, sir?
We sit in the living room, tastefully done in cream carpet and knickknacks, along with her husband, Gary, and daughter, Diane, the distraught woman who knocked on my door.
What? Earrings?
Oh, you know I want to put them in.
Don't put your earrings
She wants
in.
To look good.
You do look good.
I look like crazy.
No, you look good. How old are you?
88.
Are you sick?
No.
Yeah.
I have cancer.
What kind? Lung
cancer.
Did you smoke?
No, he said I smoke. You know I smoke. I went to bingo, you know.
I smoke.
You smoke.
Yeah. Are you angry at me?
No.
That you're sick?
No. Sure. I'm a very easygoing person. I think in live and let live.
Gary and Joanna Kristen Hughes fled 1950s Europe by boat. They arrived in Detroit by train. They built a home here together. He was a mechanic, she an office worker. They had children and grandchildren and went to church on Sundays.
We had a good life.
You still have one?
68 years.
68 years married?
68.
Yeah. I thought you said you had a good life.
Yeah, we had a good life. Yeah.
Okay. You're not afraid of dying.
Mm-hmm.
You're not afraid
and
of dying.
Age, no, I'm not afraid of dying.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
Why?
I don't know. You have a certain age, you got to go. The only thing is I hope I sleep away.
You sleep through it?
Yeah, you just got to sleep.
Why did you want to see me?
Well, I want to see you.
Yeah.
You're very attractive. Yeah. And we were watching you on TV by any time you were coming on.
Your daughter knocked on my door.
Oh, yes.
She scared me.
She's embarrassed about it. She said, don't be.
Yeah, don't be. But I was in my underpants.
So what?
Yeah, I was like,
You didn't show you all how to take.
I didn't show her anything, no.
No, so what? You ready for coffee?
Am I ready for coffee?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Eddie, make coffee.
Wanna see the house? You have to walk through it.
Yes. It's a nice house.
Clean.
Joanna, frail and dressed in the earrings and a blue house coat, leads me to the parlor. We sit near the cuckoo clock.
When you see the second floor, you know, because your life is getting shorter.
Are you cold, Mom?
No, I'm fine. And I want, that's one of the things I wanted to meet him, Charlie LaDuff. You look like you protect people.
I got you, didn't I?
Yeah.
Why don't we leave your husband here? We go out on a date.
Oh, you wouldn't mind. Uh-huh.
Oh, that's funny. I go to the kitchen where the cups rattle and the coffee drips to ask Gary's permission to date his bride. Gary, your wife said you wouldn't mind if she and I went out on a date.
Oh, oh hey. I'd love to do it.
Gary, let me ask you one question. Are you worried about your wife?
Yeah. Because it's getting, you know...
Close?
Close, yeah.
What will you do without her?
Do it myself. I have to.
Won't be the same.
No, everything is different. Yeah. I already know when she's a couple of days in the hospital, you know, and you're here all by yourself. It's a different story already. Yeah.
What do you think about...
Well, she's not sitting here alone, you know. The evenings are long. Yeah. That's your companion. And that's a whole lot. Yeah. That makes her really, really...
Oh, my Jesus. Does she sneak up all the time like that?
Yeah. He asked me for a date.
And you said yes.
Yes. How about the casino?
The casino? Okay, but you're paying. I don't know about the casino, but I know my life got a little richer when that knock came to my door. It's called a community. After all, what is life's meaning but each other? And after coffee, we step to the porch for a selfie. This is nice. I'm glad I came. Thank you for having me.
I hope you come back.
Hey, look how your mom's holding me.
Oh, dear.
Look at that. Sorry, Gary.
You know, Charlie, you have to watch what you're doing. If I grab there,
my ass?
Yeah, then you're going to sue me.
Oh, no. No, that's the last thing I do.
Sure. You take one with Diane and him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know how to do this, Dad?
No, I don't.
We do a selfie. I do. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you come back, huh?
Bye-bye.
Yeah, and I miss her terrible.
I could tell. Mm-hmm. You smiled and you looked like you were going to cry a little bit. What's it like to hear her?
Well, it was nice. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I still got all the pictures up, too.
That's good.
From the funeral, you know. Yeah.
Well, what do you do without her?
I stay busy, you know, keep on doing things, you know. I take a couple walks. I walk by here every day, twice.
You can always stop by.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
I didn't know it was here.
Now you do.
Yeah. But, you know, every day I walk by here. You know, I know a lot of people here in this neighborhood. And keep the house clean. Do the stuff outside. Whatever there is to do, you know, I do. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you going. Yeah.
You ever think about her? Like
all the time.
When you're alone? What do you think?
Yeah. Even talk to her.
You do?
Yeah. In the house, you know.
What do you talk about?
That I miss her, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever talk about the kids or how the grandkids are doing?
Not too little. But mostly, you know, about the two of us, you know. Mm-hmm.
And you were married for how long? 69 years?
69 years.
Wow.
Do you tell her you love her?
That too. I still do.
Do you tell her?
Yeah. We were nuts about one another, you know. Yeah.
I could tell that.
Mm-hmm. The two of us, you know, we did everything together, you know, and had a good life.
Do you think she hears you?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe she does. She does.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe in God? No.
I went to church where you went.
I know. You told me it was bullshit.
Yeah. But, you know, when we went to church in Holland, you know, everything was the old-fashioned way. And here, they threw everything out.
You don't like that.
You know,
no mystery.
That's one thing, but communion, you know. In Holland, you had to go there, you couldn't touch it, they put it in your mouth, you couldn't chew on it. And here, they throw it in your hand, you know, you stuff it in your mouth and you chew on it.
Right.
And it wasn't done there.
No, yeah. But, you know, welcome here. Yeah. You're part of it.
Yeah.
Hey, so we're going to wrap up, but next time you talk to her, can you tell her I said hello?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've done everything together. Well, you know, we traveled a lot. We went to Europe. Well, her sister and her husband and her and me, you know, we got along real well. And I had a pop-up. When they came here, we traveled to the United States.
Nice.
And, you know, we went to AAA and told them we wanted to go there and take that route. And they would make a triptych for you, you know, and show everything that was seenable on the side of the roads. And that's what you did.
Have you ever been to Beverly Hills, California?
No. We've been in California many times because I got a son living there. And in Reno, Nevada, there's not a son living there.
What about like San Francisco? San Francisco?
You've been there, yeah.
Yeah, I used to live there.
Oh, yeah?
Until the police told me to move my pop-up camper. I didn't live there anymore.
Yeah, so we all took the long trips, you know, for 5 or 6 weeks, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, you know, take your time and go all over. And if you made sure we ended in California and in Reno, Nevada.
So she could go to the casino.
Yeah,
yeah. Nice.
Well, she did quite often. Yeah. And she said I didn't smoke, but there was a lot of smoke in the casinos, you know.
And that's what gave her the lung cancer. Yeah. Yeah, that's what you want to blame that on. Last question here, bro. Are you afraid of death?
No.
No? Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
You're ready to go?
Yeah.
Really? Because you miss her so bad?
Oh, I mean, going.
Yeah, you ready? Away. Are you ready for the ground?
You know, I don't mind passing away because you know, she is gone, so. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
It's beautiful, bro. All right, I love you. You stop by here anytime, okay?
You know, I'm still in reasonable good shape. You know.
You are.
I might live a couple more years. I don't know.
You don't care.
Mm-hmm. Not really.
And nobody should be sad about that.
You know,
listen, like, Gary.
That's another thing. You know, every time we went up north, we were home. And she said, hey, let's go up north. Okay, let's go. Then we went up north. Same thing with me. If I wanted to go, we went. And if we were up north, let's go home. Then we went home.
So when people listening hear you say, I don't care if I live anymore, should they be sad to hear you say that?
I don't know. But I'm not going to say to my family. You know, because...
Well, your family would be sad.
Mm-hmm. It would be a kind of, you know...
But if you got a life well lived...
Mm-hmm. Nothing to fear.
Nothing to fear.
Right now, too, driving up north, for me, it's getting too long now.
Yeah.
It's a too long a trip. So Diane's got to go with me. So...
Your daughter.
Yeah. She can do it all the time.
And she talks a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, Diane. Love you. All right, listen, Gary. We're gonna go. I want to tell you in a manly way that I love you. Mm-hmm. And if you need anything, thank you, man. Mm-hmm. If you need anything, you let me know. I'll do the best I can, okay? And
thanks for sharing your stories with us. Mm-hmm.
And I hope you all out there can find a little love amongst one another. And this is a song for you. And Joanna, Gary, I picked it out for you, okay? Mm-hmm.
But this is something what you didn't hear. This
story. Oh, wait, don't begin. Okay, one more story. Go on.
I thought maybe there might be something for you. But anyway, During the war, we lived real close to a military air base.
Right.
You know, the Germans had occupied that land there and made a big air base out of it. And the Allies attacked it. We didn't see them coming, but we know there was an alarm because we only lived a couple of miles away from it. I was outside, and I seen them coming out there fighters, you know, coming up and trying to get away from it. One got shot down and came straight down like that. Never caught fire, but got shot down. So we lived close by. I went looking at it, and I saw the pilot, you know. They had pulled them out already. The plane didn't catch fire, fell on the ground. A bullet went smack through the cockpit. So I said, oh, he was laying there without a head.
Oh.
So he blew his head off. He never knew what hit him because they went too quick, you know. And it was a good thing for him. But the Germans, they left him laying there for 3 or 4 days. That's what he did. And then they finally, you know, buried him in a cemetery. Catholic. He probably was Catholic because they buried him in a Catholic cemetery there where we always go, you know.
And that's a photograph of
yeah,
him?
Yeah.
Let me see it.
Anyway, here we went to Canada to a dentist. They were cheaper than here and stuff like that, you know.
Sure.
So I was sitting in a chair. And the girl comes and cleans my teeth, and she asked me, where are you from and what happened, and start walking, talking during the war. And she said, yeah, in her family, and that's what he told her, there was a guy, a fighter pilot, and he attacked an air base, and he got shot down. Oh, man, I seen the same story. Could be the same, you know. And then I said to her, I said, well, if you go back to Holland, I'll take a picture and let you know. And that is the picture. Plus on top of it, a Canadian.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So
wow.
That could be the same person, you know.
Yes. Let me do this, and then we'll say goodbye. Flight Lieutenant R.J. Land, pilot, Royal Canadian Air Force, 14th January 1945, age 27. Thank you, Lieutenant, for your service. And it should be noted that it was the Canadians who liberated Holland.
Yeah, they liberated Holland. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's because we were busy. We had to get to Berlin, bro.
Yeah.
No. Hey, Canada, we're with you. All right. God bless everybody. We'll see you next week. And this song is for you, Gary, you and okay. Joanne.
Okay. Is it a Dutch one?
No. This is... USA music.
Well, hello there. My, it's been a long, long time. How am I doing? Oh, I guess that I'm doing fine. It's been so long now, and it seems that it was only yesterday. Gee, ain't it funny how time slips away? How's your new love? I hope that he's doing fine. Heard you told him that you'd love him till the end of time. Now that's the same thing that you told me, seems like just the other day. time slips away. Gotta go now. Guess I'll see you around. Don't know when though. Never know when I'll be back in town. But remember what I tell you, that in time